Oh, yeah, that was Same Power by Jeremy Camp. And isn't it amazing to think how the same power that we read about in the Bible, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, is alive and working in believers today? You know, we see a lot of evil in the world, but the power that is within in us as believers is even greater. Exciting. Hey, the April speaker for the monthly Leading with Power Men's Luncheon in La Crosse and Chippewa Falls is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield. Mansfield is the son of a U.S. Army officer. He writes about men's issues, leadership, faith, the lessons of history, and the forces that shape modern culture. He wrote Never Give In, The Extraordinary Character of Winston Churchill. In 2003, he wrote The Faith of George W. Bush. Now, that appeared on the New York Times bestseller list. And he wrote The Faith of the American Soldier. I guess having a young Army kid coming up, this is really meaningful to me. But he wrote that after being embedded with U.S. soldiers in Iraq in early 2005. And then in May 2013, Mansfield released Killing Jesus, a retelling of the historical events surrounding the death of Jesus Christ. He also wrote a very, very appropriate book for this upcoming Leading with Power, Mansfield's Book of Manly Men. Boy, don't we need more manly men today. It's a hard-hitting call for men to end the downward spiral of Western manhood and to reclaim both the joys and the responsibilities of true manhood. The book has inspired events in the U.S. and Asia, and how exciting, how timely, and I think that is a message that we need today, perhaps more than ever. Again, Stephen Mansfield going to be speaking at Leading with Power in La Crosse and Chippewa Falls in April, and we are honored to have Mr. Mansfield on the phone with us today. Good morning.
Good morning, Darla. How are you?
I am doing great. Well, I know I didn't cover everything, but anything else our listeners need to know about you?
Well, my backhand and racquetball needs serious, serious work. I have a small addiction to Oreos, and there are other things I could confess, but I don't want to just depress your audience. No, you covered the highlights. Thank you very much.
Well, do you want the double-stuffed Oreos or just the regular ones?
You know, I hate to admit it, but double stuffed are just the thing. I wish I was a traditional American and just ate the regular ones, but now I do think that covering them with icing or anything like that is a communist plot, but the double stuffs have got my name, no question about it.
Well, maybe we'll get some for you before you make it to Wisconsin. Leading with Power has been an amazing men's event. It started up in the Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire area, and then Tony Zach got it going down in La Crosse, and they have had an amazing response. I think men today, so many didn't grow up perhaps with a strong father figure, and they don't really know what real manhood is all about, what that looks like, and how to live that out, how to be a godly leader in the home and the church and the community. And so I just applaud Tony Zach and the others involved with the Leading with Power. And we are so excited, although Tony won't let me come, but we are, because I'm
sure,
a female.
We don't want women around. What do you mean?
Maybe I'll just hang around. I can wait on the tables or something. But anyway, we're really excited that you are going to be bringing the message to the guys in April. You'll be in La Crosse on April 13th and then in Chippewa Falls on the 14th of April. But I just wanted to give our listeners a little idea of some of the things that you'll be talking about when you are at Leading with Power this month.
Well, you know, when Tony and I got to talking about these events, we were saying, you know, we don't just want to do a kind of a narrow message about men. We want to talk about manhood applied to our age. And if there's anything true of our age, it's that we're in crisis. I mean, just with whether it's ISIS or it's other kinds of situations in our world, and men, true men, righteous men, need to stand up and face the crises of our age and lead well. So what better model of that, what better example of that than Winston Churchill? And there's a talk I do about Churchill leading in crisis that I'm very excited about sharing with the guys. I'll talk a little bit about manhood, but, you know, and we'll certainly make my book, Mansfield's Book of Manly Men, available, which I think will help them. But I think I want to elevate their vision just a little bit, make it relevant to the business community, and talk about Churchill's leadership in time of crisis. I think we'll accomplish two or three goals by doing that.
Yeah, and I think that is huge, because today it just seems like the world is in such a state of chaos, not only the world, but when you bring it down to our local community. And you know, how do men take that stand? How can they make a difference in their families, in their communities, and even to take a stand in this world to have a real impact?
Well, you know, when I'm teaching men, one of the first things I teach is that a true man tends his field. Paul said he would not boast beyond the field assigned to him. He was talking in 2 Corinthians and talking about to the Corinthians and saying, you're in this field that God has assigned to me, but I won't boast beyond that field. Well, there's a real key there, and it's repeated elsewhere in Scripture. Clearly, there was a field of responsibility God had given him. Well, I teach and I believe that every man, for every phase of his life, has a field of responsibilities, not just the list of to-dos he's got to do at home. It's all the things that God has given him for a given season of his life. And if he will own those, take responsibility for them, nurture and grow everything in it, be responsible for it, then God gives grace, and God also gives increase. And this is the beginning of it. So a lot of what we have going on today is retreatism. It's hiding in fear from the crises of our age. It's men not being responsible at home, not being responsible for sons and daughters, not being responsible for the situations in their world, even in neighborhoods and so on. But I think that I'm seeing a massive movement of men say, look, I want to be a true man. Maybe my father wasn't an example of it. Maybe I've never known it in my family line at all. But tell me what a true man is. Tell me what he owns and takes responsibility for. And when I see men make that kind of commitment, I see God respond with a pretty amazing level of grace and wisdom and protection. And it's not about authority primarily. It's primarily about having the strength to fulfill, tending that field and take responsibility for those in it. Amazing things start to happen.
Do you think because of the many mixed messages that we receive in media, TV, sitcoms, guys really don't know what it means to be a true man, to be a godly man, to be a righteous man, as you talked about? And because they're not quite sure, there's a lack of confidence there to take that stand and to stand up for what is right, because they're really not quite sure.
No, there's no question about it. If young men have not had older men who are good, noble men setting the example and building a culture into which the younger men can arise, then they're going to be confused. And quite frankly, the media images are part of the reason that I wrote my book in the first place. You know, how many times you watch a TV commercial and there's the middle-aged man and he's doing a happy dance because he found the TV remote in the couch, and you know, maybe he's got his dog dancing with him, and his wife and kids are in the other room just rolling their eyes at the idiot dad. You know, there's that kind of image of a man. And then there's the dog image of a man, you know, not to be too crass here, but he's, you know, sitting at the strip club, you know, shoving 20s into somebody's underwear. That's the other image that's always on TV. Well, where is the good man? Where is the noble man? Where's the man who leads his family well, produces great children, takes responsibility for what goes on in the society? Well, he's there, but he's got to fight for attention. And I wanted to emphasize that side of it. One of the things I love is when I go speak at university campuses, I often end up late at night, you know, at the pizza hang with a bunch of kids. And eventually one of the guys is going to turn to me and say, look, just tell me what to do to be a man. I mean, nobody's ever told me. Just tell me what to do. I know we're all messed up. I know we're not perfect, but just tell me what to do. And that's what I decided to do in that book, is to start with the conversation there, not just with feelings, emotions, guilt, but with, okay, you want to start being a great man? Do these following things. That'll be a beginning, and then we'll get to the other things later. And I'll tell you what, young men respond to that message. So you're absolutely right. The media images work against it, but that's what I'm fighting back against.
You know, I think that is huge. I think we're seeing that, especially in this younger generation. They are tired of playing games. They're tired of all the political correctness. They're tired of all just the mixed messages that they're getting. And they're wanting something that is true, something that is authentic, and they are ready to take a stand. But sometimes we need to equip them with what is truth. And where do you find that foundation for truth?
Well, I believe, of course, we're all made in the image of God, male and female, and I believe that God provides the pattern, the example, the wisdom for each gender. So there is a righteous version of manhood. In fact, I love it when David turns to Solomon just as he's about to die. David's just about to die, and he says these words. This is probably the English that's closest to the Hebrew. He says, "Show yourself a man." Now, in the Bible, throughout the Bible, most of the time, the word man is meant to mean male. But that would have made no sense in this context. We have lots of places in the Bible where it said there were 500 men who took up the sword or what have you. But here he's not talking about being a male. Again, that would have made no sense to turn to a 30-year-old man and say, be a male. He was saying, be what a noble man is. Be an exemplary man. Be an exceptional man. The phrase we use in our movement is, be a great man. And so that's said a couple of other times when God shows up at the end of the book of Job and turns to Job and says, prepare to defend yourself like a man. Again, the word's not male. The word refers to the characteristics of a man. So be prepared to defend yourself like a great man should. And that's the image that we keep forefront, that God has defined what manhood is, what great manhood is, that we want to do it by the help of the Spirit and by the example of Jesus, and that we recognize we need each other to pull that off. And that's a lot of the answer to the crises of our age. And I'll tell you what, men are responding to it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a great hunger for that. And you're not talking about like the dictatorship or being that domineering, authoritative man that, you know, what you say goes and that's it, and, you know, beat everybody else into submission. That isn't the type of manhood, just to clarify, that you're talking about.
No, of course. You're absolutely right to bring that up. I mean, I tell the men all the time two things. First of all, a lot of your wives and a lot of your girlfriends are somewhere worried about what you're going to hear because they've watched men come back from men's conferences and meetings before and act like fools. And so let's not do that, number one. Number two is that women are on the rise in our generation, and let's celebrate it and not resent it. Women have taken nothing from men that men did not surrender in the first place. It's not like there's one pie and we're all fighting for a percentage of it. There's an ever-growing pie, and we men have been abandoning it. Men are in decline by almost every statistic in our generation. But that can be turned around and be an aid and a help to women, and we can all accomplish and succeed together. So it's time for us to get on with it. And the people who are suffering the most, we're told, are the boys. The boys are really in trouble. In fact, a psychologist recently said in an Esquire magazine article that part of the problem with boyhood today is that because the society doesn't understand it, they're over-medicating it. They're actually trying to treat boyhood with drugs when, in some cases, I'm not saying in all cases now, some people do need, you know, drugs to deal with genuine diagnoses of ADD and things of that nature. But in many cases, it's just adolescence, which any male can tell you is a form of madness to begin with. So,
and any mother, by the way.
Exactly. Anybody who's got teenage boys knows they all go nuts for about 3 or 4 years. Mine certainly did, and I did too. So you don't need to drug that. You need to work with it, discipline it, train it, love it. But the point is that the society is a little bit at war with boys, largely because there aren't men around to articulate what boyhood is.
On the bigger picture, what difference or what impact do you see having this generation of manly men rise up today? What impact would that have on our community and on our nation at large?
Well, let me answer you a question with a question, although I'm not trying to avoid your question at all. When you watch the news tonight, ask yourself, is there anything...
I don't watch the news anymore with all that's going on. But
hey,
yeah, go ahead.
You're just upset with the Trumpists.
Exactly. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just teasing. Okay, if you ever watch the news, or if a friend tells you about the news over lunch...
Okay, now we're good.
Ask yourself if there's any situation you're hearing about that wouldn't be better. We wouldn't be better off as a society if a generation of righteous men arose and did the right thing. Because I work on campuses a lot, speaking to men and doing other things, debating and politics and what have you, I understand that almost 20% of the young women on college campuses are in some way sexually molested. That would be better if men, if young men especially, were noble men. You're going to hear in the news about ISIS. Well, I know a pretty good amount about ISIS. I work for the Kurds and travel in the Middle East a lot. ISIS is a bunch of street thugs. It's a bunch of young men, untethered, disconnected, who aren't necessarily committed Muslims. In fact, my Muslim friends tell me just the opposite. These guys are not serious Muslims. But it's a street gang rallied in the name of Islam and then sent out to do violence, and it's doing horrible violence. Goodness. Corruption on Wall Street, same thing, noble manhood. Silliness in politics, same thing, noble manhood. I could go on and on and on. Many of the crises of our age would be fixed, healed, abated if men were arising in large numbers to be true and great men and holding each other accountable to the same standard.
Powerful. So, Stephen, could you give an invitation to those men out there who are listening? Who should come to this Leading with Power event? Again, there's going to be two, one in La Crosse, one in Chippewa Falls. Everyone is welcome to come to each of those luncheons. It's a free luncheon. But who in particular do you think would benefit from coming to the luncheons?
Well, I'm very excited to meet the men who are going to be coming to this luncheon, and it's going to be a fun time. We specifically designed it so it's not just for the church crowd. It's not just for men who are part of men's groups, for example. That's why we're using Winston Churchill as our example. We're going to be talking about what it means to truly lead in times of crises, the principles of Churchill's leadership. Yes, it applies to your family. It also applies to your business, to your, who knows, your political life if you're in office. So I don't mean to be kind of silly here, but really every man who wants to be a noble man, a good man, and be better at what he does and stand up in society and take responsibility for the issues of this age will be helped by this dinner. It's not narrow. It's not certainly not churchy. I don't mean that as a negative, in a negative sense, as I often joke. I live in Washington, D.C. and Nashville. I'm a member of two churches. I'm definitely going to heaven. But the point is that please don't think that this is just a religious gathering, though I'm certainly going to be talking about God's power in our lives to help us contend with this generation. But really, every man who wants to improve in his profession, in his personal life, and in the leadership of his family is going to find this very helpful.
Excellent. Again, we are looking forward to it. I'm going to give all the details about the upcoming event. Stephen, thank you so much for what you are doing. I think this is critically needed in this day and age to impart to men what it means to be a manly man, to be a strong leader, and to be able to take a stand and to ultimately change the course of history, I believe.
Well, that's my prayer, too. And Darla, thanks for having me on the air. This is an important moment, important meetings, and you're doing a lot to get the word out for us.
Well, thank you. We'll try to get you some Oreos, okay?
All right, I look forward to it.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Again, we've been talking with Stephen Mansfield. He is going to be the speaker in April at the Leading with Power men's events in La Crosse and in Chippewa Falls. That'll be April 13th in La Crosse and April 14th up in Chippewa Falls. You can find all the information and make your reservations. I encourage you to do that right away on their website. That's leadingwithpower.org. Again, leadingwithpower.org.